It is time for the Drew Yari Show. Drew Yari.
Love.
What's good, man?
Tired.
Yeah, but, same here, man.
Yeah, but I'll make it. We'll make it.
Yeah, like right when you wrote me, I was barely waking up, and then you're saying, yeah, I had to make a phone call real quick, and that's when I went, all right, and I just kind of went back to sleep for a bit, and mm-hmm. then you wrote me back saying, hey, I'm ready. I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cold as fuck here in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's pretty cool out here in down here in old SC.
Yeah, like lately we've been getting a cold front. You know, it gets cold at night, and then it gets a little warm during the day, which is good. Today is the high is going to be 37, the low is 28. And we're supposed to be getting, like, I guess, sleet, you know, icy roads or whatnot.
Right.
I mean, hopefully it's not like last year, where last year we actually got, like, snow for, you know, at least, like, a week. Because, you know, San Antonio is not equipped to handle snow on that kind of level because we're just used to, like, flurries or whatever. But, yeah. But it is what it is. How you been, man? It's been a minute.
Good, man. Just chilling, man. Chilling, working. That's it. Rinse, repeat.
Rinse, repeat. Yeah, same here, man. All I do is work. And then I come home, and then there's the show, and there's Betty, and yeah, that's really about it. Nothing too big has happened around the household today. I mean, not today, but like in the past few weeks, we had to clean the house because we had an infection from the because we rent where we live, mm-hmm. and the people in charge of the association came to do an inspection. So we cleaned the whole house, including her mom's old room, which we were supposed to move into a few years ago, but. That room's a big chunk of it is clean. All we gotta do is just put some stuff in storage and get a new mattress, and we can, you know, move in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, other than that, I mean, we got Google Fiber. You know, we no longer have Spectrum. You know, thank God.
Oh God, yeah, it's terrible, terrible. Yeah, terrible.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, I've noticed a difference because. The day they came in to install Google Fiber, I was reinstalling a game on my Xbox One, and mm-hmm. it was going at a snail's pace with right. Spectrum. When they installed fucking Google Fiber, I noticed a difference. Like, it was going a lot faster. I'm like, okay, I like it.
Like the sound of this. Yeah.
Love it. And it's cheaper, too. It's about $70 a month. You know, I was paying $80 with fucking Spectrum.
Yeah, that's ridiculous for cable. Really yeah. Ridiculous.
Well, I mean, we actually had internet. We used to have cable, then we just cut off the cable and stuck with the internet. You know, because like streaming stuff, because we have YouTube TV for cable. And that's a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really about it. What's good? Yeah, I mean, as far as like a news week goes, I mean, there's always a lot of stuff that goes on in the IWC that, you know, we could talk about, and, you know, the world of entertainment. Did you happen to watch AEW last night?
Yeah, I was kind of half into it and kind of like really, just chilling, because I woke up with a massive headache, so I was kind of in and out of it a little bit. But I did catch the beginning with, you know, with Cole and the boys. Well, with Adam Cole and Britt Baker beating Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander there.
They're still doing that shit?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then here's what I know. Because I was, when the show was going on, I was recording with Ruben for the show we do on Patreon. And so I had the show on, so I'm just like kind of getting a glimpse of what was going on. So I know Adam Cole got a promo on Orange Cassidy, and they're going to have a lights out match, which I'm just like, For the love of God, can we get Adam Cole away from Orange Cassidy?
Yeah, hopefully this is the end of this bullshit, you know?
I don't know if you heard this. So Brian Lass from Cornette Show had said that Adam Cole was the male Riho.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And it's fucked up because it's kind of true at this point, because when Adam Cole was in NXT, like, you can kind of get away from the fact that he was a small guy because they were putting him in the ring with, you know, bigger name talent. And he gets to AEW and it's just like, he's just another wrestler. And
I mean, the thing is too, with that is like, all of us small, like, yeah, I mean, that's, to use Kevin Nash's famous quote there, I mean, it's the land of the vanilla midgets, man. Everybody over there is small. You know, a lot of them are small. A lot of them can't talk. A lot of them don't have that type of charisma. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, saying it over in NXT, that speaks volumes. But AEW, I mean, it's kind of the norm, honestly, when you look at the roster up and down. I love Jungle Boy, but he can't talk for shit either. He ain't got charisma. Darby Allin has a certain enigma about him, but enigma doesn't exactly translate to charisma. Jeff Hardy also had that same type of enigma, but he didn't have charisma either. Who else? I mean, you can go up and down the list, man. There's a lot of guys that are just, you know, very, very small that just don't have the it factor. Cole, I think his saving grace is the fact that he can talk and that he can draw attention to himself. That's why I always defend him, you know?
I mean, I like Adam Cole, too. Yeah. I mean, I'm not shitting on him, but it's just like AEW is really – AEW has done no favor. Like, he has – you know, they've ruined Adam Cole for me. And, you know, going back to NXT, you know, him in NXT, you know, compared to him in AEW, was like
– superstar, night and day.
Yeah, he was a star. They gave him his own faction. They pushed him like he was Jesus Christ and – you know, he had great matches with everybody on the show. He gets to AEW and he's immediately in a faction with somebody else. You know, he's pretty much under Kenny's thumb. He's with the, you know, the old twinks. And then he gets in a fucking program with Orange Cassidy for literally no reason. And it's just, it's done nothing for him. It's dragged him down. And we've already had this discussion. Orange Cassidy is the boss's favorite wrestler. And, you know, according to Jeff, you know, Littman, he's a ratings draw for some reason. And yeah, he couldn't even explain to me why he was. And I'm just like, and I believe Jeff. Jeff wouldn't.
No, he is. He is.
And it's just like, it sucks hearing that. like, it's one of those things where you're just like, that sucks. That just sucks hearing that.
And that's why he gets the spots that he gets, you know?
I have a feeling in 5 years there's going to be somebody else running the company, because pretty soon the network is going to get tired of, oh, it's demos. Like, we need actual, like, better ratings. Because I made this equation before on a wrestling court with Julian, where I was just like, you know, whatever the highest rated TV show on television right now. I mean, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's maybe like Masked Singer, unless I check.
Yeah.
Where
they get Singer, like, Masked Dancer.
Yeah, they'll get like maybe 14 million views, you know, per week. And it's just like, if they ended up getting AEW's, you know, ratings, and the excuse from the boss is, oh, but those demos. And it's just like, no, get the fuck out. like, you're fired. The show's canceled. Never come back again.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about demos, bro. Like, I don't know why that's such a big deal. Honestly, the cable business is dead. Honestly, realistically. So when people get up in arms about these ratings, it's dead anyways, dude. Because, like, nobody has cable anymore. Nobody has cable anymore. So it doesn't really matter. So when people go on and on about ratings, I'm like, who gives a fuck? Because the cable business and the television business is dead. You go to everybody's house, they either have a Fire Stick or the Google shit or, well, it's just another streaming, Sling TV. My sister's got that. Mm-hmm. A bunch of different Amazon Prime, whatever you can to get a nice little cheap cable package or to get certain channels. People have it. I think I'm the only sucker still playing for cable, for Dish TV.
Yeah, you need to get out of that, bro.
Yeah, no, I think I will too soon. So,
I mean, I'm not sure your preferences. If you like having local TV, I would suggest going to YouTube TV. And then there's Sling too. Sling's pretty cheap. You can either pay like if you go on the site, they'll have like different packages. It'll be like, if you want to play, play for, the blue package and only have like a certain amount of channels, that'll be $25. If you want to pay for the orange package, that's $20. If you want to get both, that's $45. So that's a pretty good deal right there.
Yeah.
So, and then, what else happened? So, Moxley came back. Moxley made his return. Looking better.
Looked good.
Looking younger. Doesn't look like a balding plumber anymore.
Yeah, holy shit. Did he get hair plugs or what?
I mean, if he did, good for him.
Exactly. Holy shit. He looked great.
But
he looked good.
But came back, made a nice speech. There was a fan in attendance. I don't know what the fan said, but Monk said, go fuck yourself, get that fan out of here. I mean, he sounded good. It was good to see Moxley back. I mean, I bust his balls a lot, Maybe there's a reason why his wrestling kind of depleted the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is a new Moxley, a better Moxley. So, I mean, we'll see. But again, it's good to see him back. It's good to see that he's healthy and in a better place.
Yeah, definitely. I missed the promo, but I saw how he looked. I saw it on Twitter. He looked good. He looked good. So. Hope that he bounces back and gets back in the ring soon and has a healthy run, gets back into the game the right way.
In my opinion, and I think he probably do this, he should probably not do the death matches.
I agree.
Because I think that could maybe trigger his drinking again, because a lot of that looks like it hurts. And when you're hurt, you take pain meds. And when you take pain meds, what is that?
A lot of alcohol. Trust me, I know. I've been there.
Right. So, I mean, I honestly think he should stay away from that shit and just focus on, regular wrestling. But,
But he can't help himself. He's already booked for a GCW show. Nah, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be doing any match fighting, but... Still, I mean, he can't help himself. So I guess we'll have to see what's up. But, yeah, for his sake, I hope not either. Because you're right. When you're an athlete and you go through a lot of pain, I mean, that's how Umaga, that's how he, passed and stuff like that. A lot of other wrestlers, too. So you got to watch yourself.
Right. I mean, he has a kid. He's married. If I'm Renee, again, this isn't me trying to tell anyone what to do. It's just like I want the guy to be better. I don't want anything to happen to the guy. If I'm Renee, I'm just like, yeah, you maybe shouldn't do that shit. Like, lay low in the death match shit.
She be cringing on Twitter sometimes with some of her reactions. And it's like, yeah, dude, you better listen to your wife for a change, man.
Another promo that happened, again, I had it on because I was recording, was Cody Christ made his return after being caught with COVID, comes out, brings out a giant ladder. And I didn't hear the promo. I know people loved it. And by loved it, I mean hated it.
Me included.
So what did he say? What was the promo about?
He was all over the place with the damn promo, to be honest with you. He was talking about he took a shot at you know, WWE changing well, first he was trying to kiss CM Punk's ass, giving him credit for starting a revolution with the pipe bomb. Mm-hmm. Then he made a reference about you know, WWE changing Volta's name. Then he just went on and on and on about a bunch of nothing, about how he didn't want to see the Young Bucks fight Red Dragon. And then he pretty much said that, you know, there could only be one TNT champion, Sammy Guevara. But he said he was cutting a promo spewing a bunch of bullshit just to get to one point. And that was the whole Sammy Guevara thing. And I'm like, dude, that promo was so fucking cringy. I can cut a better promo on E-Feds, bro. That's so bad. That was so fucking bad, bro.
So basically, it was a Cody Rhodes promo.
Yeah, man. It was bad. And usually I like his promos. But here lately, I don't know what the fuck is going on with the fucking guy.
His promos are just like, because he openly admitted on his, what is it, reality show, that he actually writes out his promos, he rehearses them. And it's just like, he tries to be too dramatic and theatric and tries to find the meaning of whatever, you know, just like that promo he did, you know, for Anthony Ogogo, talking about, you know, trying to do the whole USA versus, you know, England thing. And then he brings in his daughter and tries to, I guess, insinuate that his daughter is the first ever, you know, mixed, you know, baby in the history of time. And it's just like, I don't know what happened to Cody. Like, he got weird. Like, when he was in WWE, like, he was, like, I could stomach him because he didn't have that personality about him, you know. Like, he cut okay promos. He was okay in the ring. And then when he left, like, something happened to him. Like, he
was on a mission to prove that he was way more worth than what WWE thought. And he got love because, you know, when you leave WWE and try to, you know, show them up, you know, you get love from the smarts that way. And I think he got too big for his britches. And then the hardcore AEW fans, they kind of hate that he's trying to go Hollywood, it looks like, between doing the shows, and then he's got his horrible-ass reality TV show as well. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. He's just bad. I don't know what the fuck is going on with Cody, but it's not looking good. And he's got to try to find out what the hell is going on quickly, because a lot of people are just not having any of Cody Rhodes right now, and it's hard not to blame people either.
That's even at the point even the AEW fans hate him.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, there's a bunch of, like, hardcore AEW fans that work on, well, not a bunch, but there's a few that work at the job, and they're like, yeah, we can't stand Cody Rhodes. It's fucking terrible. So.
And then the news came out that he hasn't signed a contract with AEW, so he's working as an independent contractor.
Oh, God.
Which he more than likely will sign back because, you know, A, he's able to, you know, do his wrestling school and he's able to do his reality show. And then B, you know, it's just AEW is going to more than likely offer him a lot of money. And
yeah, he's not going anywhere, dude. Like,
he ain't going to WWE. I mean, because, you know, the rumor, you know, the whole Forbidden Door thing. And then, you know, there were rumors that, you know, him and Moxie might show up in the Rumble, which, I mean, it'll be interesting, but it's just like it won't happen. As far as I know, the Forbidden Door thing is only for like Impact and NWA, and that's about it. But yeah, just Cody he's staying put because AEW is giving him what he wants. And based off the promo from what you told me, he definitely is going to be going back. And I don't think WWE wants him back, to be honest.
Yeah, him and Sammy Guevara are definitely going to have a fucking you know, they're going to have a Diesel Shawn Michaels type ladder match for the TNT title like that. You can see that coming a mile away. And that's pretty much what that promo was about.
It's going to be a lot of overworking. It's going to be a lot of non-selling. It's going to be Cody getting color for, like, just simply bumping into a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like a Cody match. And then Sammy. Did I tell you I got blocked by Tate Conti?
Yes, you did, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of shows. Yeah, she went on a blocking spree apparently because she didn't like how people were being mean to her. I think Sammy did the same. Sammy didn't block me, just I don't know. Which I at this point I kind of wish he does. So, yeah. I'm getting tired of seeing those two together. Like it's cringe.
Oh, you just don't like the fact that he's tapping that ass. No, I'm just messing around. But
I mean, partially, but no, it's just like you ever like seen a couple that is just like they're always in love and they're always posting things about each other and they're like, I love you, babe. Like, oh, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Don't care.
They do that until the fucking love runs out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how long?
That ain't gonna last too long. It's not gonna last too long. After he's finished tapping that, he's gonna move on to the next piece of ass, bro. Sammy Guevara strikes. I went out with a girl that kind of has a swagger, Sammy Guevara, and that's the same thing that happened. You know, the love ran out, and I was on my ass. So,
what did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong? So, hey, it is what it is, though. So,
I mean,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
At least you look at like Adam Cole and Britt Baker. They look like a cool couple.
Yeah, no, they, yeah, like Britt Baker looks like a ride or die, you know? Like, I could dig it, you know?
Like, Adam seems chill. He seems like he's fun. He seems like he'd be fun to hang out with. And same thing with Britt.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they don't really take themselves that seriously.
Unlike Jordynne Grace and Jonathan Gresham. Oh God, we had fun with him the other night.
What happened?
I took and posted the little picture of them two together backstage at Impact. Then people was talking about him getting dominated by Jordynne Grace in the comment section.
Oh, God.
So apparently, according to a bunch of girls or women, apparently they think Jonathan Gresham like his salad toss. So I mean. Hey. That's his business. If he likes the salad toss, that's his business.
So you know, Jordynne Grace is the Rim Reaper?
Yeah, she's the Rim Reaper. Man, I heard her cut a promo, and I did not expect her voice to sound that deep and masculine.
Well.
God, that was there for a surprise. I never heard her cut a promo before. I don't watch Impact. So
I mean, nobody watches that, but now it's gonna be hard to watch her cut a promo because you're just
man. Oh my God,
where has that tongue been?
Where's that tongue been? Where's that finger been? Jonathan Gristle standing in the corner with the little flirty girl face. Mm-mm-mm.
Hey, to each his own.
Do it to me again. Do it. Do it.
Lift that tongue, baby.
Barry White. Da-na-na-na-na. Come on, baby.
Do it. But yeah, as far as like anything on the show went, Lance Archer came out, had a match with Kazarian, and then Adam Cole, not Adam Cole, Adam Page had their, I guess, little standoff and fight.
Daddy, little brouhaha.
Little brouhaha. So, I can't think. What else happened on the show? Because I didn't finish it. Like, what was the main event?
It was fucking the Acclaim versus Darby Allin. I kind of tuned out at that point. Darby Allin and Sting. Yeah, it was the main event. I'm not kidding. No Bryan Danielson, no Jay Lethal. What the fuck? Like, Jay Lethal, they signed this man to a contract a couple, like November. And this man only been on Dynamite once since then. He ain't even been on Rampage. Can we get a search party out for Jay Lethal? How the hell you sign one of Ring of Honor's biggest stars in the last decade? And, you know, a guy that made his name in TNA, man. Like, how's this man not on TV? I mean, Cody did put him over in his promo when he was rambling. But besides that point, Jay Lethal ain't been on the damn show since he lost to Sammy Guevara.
So. Yeah, AEW's odd. They're an odd company because say what you want about WWE, and you know, you look at how diverse their company is. You know, their past two world champions have been black. You know, their current U.S. champion is Puerto Rican. You know, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, two black women, main event WrestleMania, and they were champions. And
right,
they're always diverse. They're diverse as fuck. You know, AEW says, well, we're diverse too. It's like, well, where? Like, you know, you're like Will Hobbs.
Yeah, man. That guy's got potential, man, but he's playing second fiddle to hit the hook right now, man. Ricky Starks ain't even getting TV time like that either. That guy's got charisma. And he's got superstar written all over him.
Like, Ricky Starks is so fucking good. And,
yeah. The stroke daddy.
And fucking Will Hobbs is so fucking good. And we barely see him. Jay Lethal is so fucking good. And we barely see him. Like, I know he's in a feud with Team Taz, but it's just like...
Who's in a feud with Team Taz?
Wasn't Jay... Like, Jay Lethal came out and defended Dante Martin against Team Taz?
Yeah, but he wasn't there tonight. Last night. That fucking... What's his name? Lee Moriarty and the other guy. Who I think Lee Moriarty should be a part of Team Taz, by the way. He works that style. I think he should be a part of Team Taz. But, I mean, AEW, Team Taz to begin with in their first start. Because I still say it still to the day that Brian Cage and fucking Will Hobbs should have been a monster tag team destroying the tag team division. But, hey, what do I know, right?
I mean, I'd rather see Will Hobbs and Wardlow as a tag team.
Yeah. Two younger guys. I mean, can't go wrong with that. But I'm just saying for that moment, they had them in Team Taz together. I thought that should have been a monster tag team. That those guys, the money could have been in the Chase. And whoever beat those fucking guys would have been superstars. But like I said, what do I know? I only fantasy write wrestling. They don't pay me to do it.
Happy birthday to Wardlow, by the way. Yesterday was his birthday.
How old is he? 35 years old?
Let me check real quick. I think he's on the young side. Let me check real quick.
Nah, Wardlow's in his 30s. Dude's been around for a long time. Just on the indies.
He's 34.
Yep, I knew he was in those mid-30s. But Wardlow's been around a long time. Is that, you know... He's a big guy. Big guys don't get real good exposure like that unless they do a flips. Wardlow don't do flips.
Which is good.
That is good. I like that. You saw what happened to Lance Archer trying to be a big guy and doing flips. Almost broke his fucking neck.
Like Wardlow is almost like seeing a unicorn because big guys nowadays, they want to do the flips like Brian Cage. Like Brian Cage is like, why am I not on TV? It's like, well... You know, maybe that's
but you why know what? Brian Cage did not. Well, actually, Brian Cage didn't want WWE for a long time after they cut him a long time ago. But Brian Cage didn't used to do all that bullshit in not PWG, but in Lucha Underground and all the others. Like they must have told him he had to work like a big guy or something, or he had the sense to work like a big guy. He get in AEW, he's doing all this cruiserweight shit, and I'm just like, dude, what are you doing? Now, he did used to do the 619 because he called it the 818 or whatever, or the 559, whatever. But besides that, he never used to do, like, the flips over the top ropes and this, that, and the other. But, yeah, that's killing him, dude. Gotta stop doing that shit, man. Work like a big guy, man. Work like a big guy. Work like a big guy. Dun, 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 dun.
So I gotta ask you, because I know I said this name is forbidden on my show, but we're on our show. What's your opinion on Voldemort?
All the potential in the world. I like that he's a stone cold killer and that he's not half assing it or winking and nodding at the camera. He seems committed to what he's doing. My issue with Hook is that he's too small to be. Like, okay, him beating up the big fat guy a couple of weeks ago, that did not seem believable to me whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's just tossing his big ass around and shit like that. Because the kid's not animative. Like, I could, Tyler Bate's also a smaller dude too. But Tyler Bate has an impressive physique. You look at that guy's legs, I mean, he's like, his legs are fucking jacked, man. He's like the white version of me there in that department. But it's played up that the guy's strong, that Tyler Bate's strong because of his lower body and, you know, the fact that he's, you know, in great shape. Hook, he's got the body of a teenager. And they don't play up the fact that he's strong. So when he's no-selling moves and when he's tossing these guys that are a little bit bigger around, it's kind of silly, you know?
Right, and it's just...
Whereas Taz, to give Taz credit, Taz had a little size on him, you know? Taz was, you know, in shape, out of shape guy back, you know, when he was on his monster run in ECW. But, yeah, like, I mean, just certain things about it are not believable. But I like the kid. I think the kid's got potential. I think he needs to, you know, bulk up a little bit more, or a whole lot more, actually. They probably won't make him because it's AEW. But my best advice to him is if he wants to become somewhat believable, especially if they insist on him tossing big guys around like that, then he's got to bulk up. And I don't know what they're going to do because, I mean, the fans are feeling him. And he's over like Rover. I mean, they can't – how long can they really push him as some type of monster heel? You know what I'm saying? So I guess we have to see what goes on here with him. But I'm not judging him yet until he has a lengthy match. Then that'll be my final judgment. But for right now, my only critiques of him right now is he needs to get that way up and – he needs to be a little bit more believable. That would add to more believability when he gets his weight up.
Again, I'm not a fan. I'm not a Hook fan. I'm not a hooker or whatever it is they're calling his fans. I don't see what everyone else sees. I'm sorry.
Well, I could tell you what a lot of the women see, because that's a lot of.
Well, yeah, I know he's a good looking guy. I'll give him that. But it's just like. I don't see what the fans see. Like, he's another.
A lot of the AEW fans are younger people, too.
Right.
So, looking at him is like looking at one of them on TV. I'm in a group chat with a lot of, like, the younger teenagers for, like, some of the, you know, for the E-Fed stuff and wrestling group chats. And, yeah, a lot of the teenagers, they like the fact that he looks like a teenager. So that's, hey, that's me. Kind of like, all right, somebody like the kid Mikey that's on my Twitter page. Like somebody like him, he looks at somebody like Santana and Ortiz and be like, hey, that's me on TV. Or bigger, pudgier guys look at Kevin Owens and be like, hey, that's me. They gravitate to that shit, you know what I'm saying? I was saying it for years when I was still somewhat fat. I was like, yo, like, I see Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens on TV with big beards and big bellies. Hey, that's kind of representing me a little bit, you know? So, you know, people flock to that. Yeah, you want to see the larger than life stars, but if you see somebody that's kind of relatable to you, whether it's culture or, you know what I'm saying, gimmick wise, this, that, and the other, you know what I'm saying? Appearance, you're going to gravitate to that because, hey, I can relate to that. So, I think that's the majority of what it is too.
AEW is obviously for the fan service. They're more for the modern younger wrestling fan.
And but the thing about it is that a lot of in the same breath, a lot of younger fans love WWE. like a lot of these kids, they are WWE stans, but they like Hook. Like a lot of them have his profile picture, Hook season, Hooker season, this, that, and the other. And they're on their profile picture, but they're like diehard WWE fans at the same time too. So it's like, it's very, very weird. And a lot of the adults, for the most part, are the AEW marks. You don't see teenagers in those crowds like that for AEW.
I don't know. It's just, I'm not a fan. I don't like the fact that he's out there not selling and he's working against bigger guys and not selling. It's stupid. Like, eventually it's going to be a thing like Orange Cassidy where it's going to run its course. And like you said, I agree with what you said where he needs to bulk up.
Yeah,
because eventually he's going to have to work longer matches against someone like an Adam Cole or a Danielson or a Punk or, you know, MJF or whoever. And, you know, a lot of that shit's not going to fly. Like, I can see someone like a Danielson being like, I'm not going to fucking do that. Like, you're going to fucking sell my shit. You're not just going to go in there and make me look like an idiot.
Brian Danielson. Oh, no. Like, no. When you're going in there with a Punk or a Danielson, that's why I like them going over there, because they're gonna slow a lot of these fucking guys down and show them what's really up. So I like the fuck that. And look, Punk didn't even break a sweat tonight. Or last night when he fucking squashed Sean Spears. Good. Why should he? I want to see more of that on AEW, honestly.
Yeah, that's like in a string of his competitive matches, that's his only non-competitive match. The whole Punk thing with Russell Sean Spears, it was a 5-minute squash. And the next pay-per-view is in February, right?
Either February or March 1. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I think it's like Revolution or something.
Gonna be a revolution.
But I'm assuming that's gonna happen, or maybe it's gonna be at the Beach Bash, you know, show in Cleveland, which is still laughable.
You're gonna have a beach show in Cleveland. Sure, pal. That makes all the fucking sense in the world. Who thought that was a fucking good idea? Who made that fucking call?
Well, the rumor is that there's going to be another tape.
Oh, Johnny Gargano.
Yep.
Oh. Where Monty said, fuck Johnny Gargano!
Bum
sauce, boomami, all kinds of stuff. Butter sauce, all kinds of shit.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he came back to WWE.
It wouldn't either, honestly.
I mean, not a Gargano fan, I'm not going to be fake, but, you know, just, yeah, it's one of those things of just like his wife still works there, technically, and he's about to be a dad. So, you know, take the easy paycheck. Fuck it. I mean, look, that's what Kevin Owens did. Kevin Owens stayed and took a dick ton of money for his family. And a lot of the AEW fans are mad because he didn't want to come in and work for less money just so he can have a match at Orange Cassidy.
Kiss Adam Cole in the middle of the ring.
Like, how dare he not want to have a competitive match against the Young Bucks and Orange Cassidy and work for less money because he wanted to make more money for his family. Fuck him.
How dare Kevin Owens? But guess what, Drew? None of them would ever really know what it's like to have a family of their own anyway, so they don't know anything about logic. All they know is wrestling. Ow, ow.
But I refuse to not see him when I have a match against Cody Rhodes and, you know, Kenny Omega.
A 7-star classic.
7 stars.
Oh my god, I think I just came my pants.
The winner for Wrestler of the Year is Kenny Omega. 7 stars. The winner for Most Improved Wrestler of the Year is Kenny Omega. 7 stars. The winner for the guy I'd probably have sex with if I was a girl, Kenny Omega.
The wrestler who I jerk off to the most, Kenny Omega. I mean, 10-star cum shots, people.
Best penis goes to, oh, Jimmy Jilliker. That's Kenny Omega. Oh. Fucking up. Yeah, that was really AEW was wrestling this week hasn't been that you know, Raw was not that great. NXT was okay. You had the return of LA Knight coming out and, you know, talking shit.
He should be in a Rumble, by the way.
Oh yeah. LA Knight should be on the fucking main roster. Like at this point. The guy's over. He has a catchphrase, he can talk and he can win. And he has a look. So it's just like he needs to be on the main roster. What's your overall opinion on Grayson?
He's all right. I mean, he's a guy that clearly wants to be a heel, so I mean, I can't be mad at that aspect. We need heels. I think he needs to get rid of that boxing gear. It looks goofy. Like his attire looks goofy. He's got a great look, but his attire looks goofy. Like he comes out there, I don't know. He comes out there dribbling, like acting like he's a basketball player, but he's got boxing gear on. Like what the fuck, like. I don't get it. Now he's got a bodyguard. I thought it was fucking Veer from it. And I'm like, holy shit. Did Veer get lost? but his old partner and that shitty Indian Giant tag team they had on NXT a couple of years ago. So, I mean, Grayson Waller, not bad. Not one of my favorites, but I can respect the fact that he's, you know, trying to heal it up and master that art. So. And apparently they see something in him because, you know, he crossed over on Raw, wrestled AJ Styles. So I mean, hey, he's got the attention of somebody. So
yeah, I agree with you on everything. Like he needs better attire. I don't understand what he wants his gimmick to be because he comes to the ring wearing boxing gear and then he tries to act like a basketball player. So I mean, it's just like.
And he's got like the Miz's gimmick almost too, where well, I'm a social media star and this, that, and the other. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Like, you gotta... It's like just wear tight, wear regular wrestling tight and regular wrestling tape. Like I don't get it. And then he does that weird, like, it's not even really a dance. It's more just like he'll kind of like duck and be like, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, it looks stupid. But
yeah, he ducks and acts like he dribbles between his legs. Yeah, this shit's weird. I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, he definitely has a look. And like you said, I can at least appreciate the fact that he is trying to act like a heel and he gets it. Like, I don't really know much about his past. Like, I don't really know if he was, like, in the indies before he came to WWE.
Yeah, he was. Matty Wahlberg. One of my friends on Twitter, Tom, was giving me, like, the lowdown on him. Because I made reference, I don't know if you remember a couple of tweets back when he had a match with, I think it was Dexter Lumis or somebody. Before he turned heel, I was like, this dude's having the best match I've seen him have, period. And then I also made a remark that he looked like one of my friends, Tom. And Tom was like, oh, shit. And then later on that day, towards the end of my work shift, me and Tom got on space, and he was pretty much giving me the rundown on Grayson Waller's career when he was Matty Wahlberg, how they used to be somewhat friendly. And then once he came to the States, it became Grayson Waller, like, he started being shitty to Tom, so they ain't friends no more. But yeah, it's weird because him and Tom look alike, man. So, but yeah, no, he's somebody to watch out for. One of my favorites, per se, no, not really. But yeah, I can, like I said, I can appreciate his work and shit like that. They've been trying to amp it up a notch with him and Von Smash.
Oh god! Like, put a mask on that guy.
They're trying to make him into a wild, crazy man.
What was the one thing you and me said where he looks like he's, or like the gimmick we were trying to propose where he just like fucks somebody's wife?
Yeah, man. He should be a Neanderthal. A Neanderthal, homewrecker. He should be a homewrecking Neanderthal. Von Smash, your wife now! Open your legs. Oh, ooh, ah, ooh, ooh, ah, ooh, ooh, ah. Yeah, get over it. Give him one of those little clubs like they do on the fucking Flintstones, and there you go. Give him the Flintstone outfit. You can insinuate him coming out of the down the one of the girls' locker room on NXT. Ah, that was amazing.
Have a Brazzers, exclusive broad smash.
Yeah.
He just fucking shows up to random people, random porn stars' houses.
Yeah, man. It'd be great. Great gimmick. Great gimmick, Vaughn. Maybe they're trying to make him into something. Harland and Gacy, they're making those guys, with something, which I'm digging Gacy. Harland, Baby Brock. It's fine. It's fine. Honestly, NXT 2.0, man, like a lot of people bitch about it. They bitch about it all the time and shit like that. But I'm just like, dude, like they're trying to make stars again, man. Vince is tired of a lot of these guys that Triple H is bringing to the main roster. And it just wasn't cutting the mustard whether it was to reactions or this, that, and the other. A lot of guys just wasn't cutting it for him. You know, Vince cares about his reactions. And I think that's the point that people miss all the time. They always talk about the wrestling, but they never talk about how over a person really is. If you're not getting a great reaction, that's what matters to Vince McMahon. If you're not watching the television program, of course it's not really going to matter. That's why Orange Cassidy gets his TV time, because Tony Khan knows the draw by hook, by crook. The guy's a draw. So... No. I mean, we can hate it. We can hate it all day long, but the proof's in the pudding, bud.
No. I mean, I've given NXT a chance, and I like what I see. People still that are doing the whole poo-pooing because they got rid of half of that roster, and
Gargano needed to go. Ciampa needs to go.
No, I get you. I get you. That's why I'm agreeing.
Pete Dunne, all those guys need to go. I've been saying it for a while now. All those guys needed to go. They were at NXT way too fucking long. And Triple H wasn't doing the magic like he used to do when NXT was still on the network, rotating guys out every week. Guys got stale like they do on Raw and SmackDown. WWE's at its best when they have talent enough to rotate out every week. That's why SmackDown is somewhat enjoyable. Because you don't see the same guys every week. And if you do, they're doing a video package one week and they're wrestling the next. And they rotate it out. You know what I'm saying? So that's what NXT used to do. But they didn't do that. And they fucked it up, man. They fucked NXT up. And, now we are where we are, 2.0. And they're going back to basics. They're going back to OVW and FCW. And is that necessarily a bad thing? Not really. It's not really a bad thing. You never know who's going to be a star, who's going to be a gem. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you right now, I'm digging Boa. Boa wasn't an indie wrestler doing a 550 splash from the top rope. I'm digging his stuff. Him and Solo Sikoa. I'm enjoying that.
I like Solo, but I gotta be nitpicky. Just call him Uso or Fatu.
Yeah, that's a gripe.
I mean, because the people already know who he is. They chant, they even chant Uso, and even the Usos acknowledge him because they're like, it's either brother or their cousin.
Brother, that's a younger brother.
Yeah, and he's really good. And it's just like, just call him Fatu or Uso.
He looks just like them too. Like the only difference, he's got the stupid blonde mohawk.
He ain't even fucking talks like him. He'll be like, I gotta go out there and whoop some ass, Uso. I'm like, he's fucking Uso.
Exactly. Same tattoos, body shape, everything. Like that. I mean, there's no hiding it. You can't hide it. Those D's are fucking strong. You can't hide it.
like Steiner, I think, is a little bit different because the audience, or this current audience, isn't as in tune with the Steiners as, you know, people like you and me or Kevin Castle. So, I mean, the whole Broadbreaker thing, I still think is dumb. I don't like the name personally, but I've kind of made peace with it because I get it. You know, they obviously want to push this guy as a star, and they'll at least acknowledge, you know, that, you know, his past and, you know, his dad.
I mean, look at his boots. His boots tell the story. I mean, it's that Steiner on it.
Right. And
I mean, and they don't shy away from it. They reference it as much as they can. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like they're hiding it, but they're not at the same time. They're not, oh, well, he's the nephew of Scott Steiner and the son of, you know what I'm saying? So they're not trying to overkill it. And plus, I mean, he talks like Scott anyways. Everybody named Mama knows that. And, yeah, I mean, my sister peeked her head in the door and saw that he was on TV cutting a promo. And she asked me, why does he sound like that guy that looks like he was on steroids in TNA? So,
that's,
I mean,
that's his Uncle Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Talks just like him.
Yeah, I enjoy NXT. I watch it. I like what I see from it. I like Cora Jade. I just think she's very green, and she has a lot. She has potential. She can only get better.
I agree with Kevin Castle. That's the next Paige. They're trying to redo Paige again.
I mean, I don't think I want her to be the next Paige for obvious reasons.
But you know what I mean. The young girl that they can market.
I get. I would say she's good. She should be the next, like, maybe AJ Lee.
But AJ Lee wasn't a young lady. I mean, AJ Lee was already her mid-20s already. I think Cora Jade's only like 19, 20 years old, like Paige. That's where the comparison comes into play.
And
that youthful looking baby face that you can push for a long time to come.
Yeah, probably. But
as long as nobody's coming in her mouth, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's reserved for trade backs. She's a good looking kid. You know, she supposed he's a little, she posts that cool selfie where I was like, damn, you got all that cake? Goddamn.
Not as much as Gigi Dolan. My God.
Hey, I love cake. I love cake and all sudden. But Gigi Dolan does have cake.
She got a whole lot of it, man.
And she's still somehow friends with Darby Allin. It's odd to be friends with, it's odd to be like close friends with your ex-husband.
Maybe he's trying to hit it. I don't know, bro.
I don't know. Again, teach his own. I don't. It's not any of my business. But we'll get to the main event because there's a lot surrounding. The main event was Walter versus Roderick Strong. It was a pretty good match. They had a really good match out there. Roddy, as much shit as we want to give him, you know, he can go out there and run. He can go out there and have a good match with him. And then Walter is Walter. Walter, you know, the story is that he just moved to the States. He got married. And, he, you know, he always said, you know, I'm not going to move to the States because A, B, C, and D. And now that he's done with NXT UK, he's now going to be full-time at NXT. And first match out with Roddy. They have a good match. He wins, of course, with a powerbomb. And then, you know, the announcer says the winner of the match is Walter. Real quick and says the winner of the match is Gunther. But I kind of missed it. It kind of went over my head a little bit because I was kind of like half paying attention. And there's one of my followers tagged me in something and goes, why can't he just be called Walter? I went, huh? And I looked at the link and sure enough, they've officially changed his name to Gunther. Who was apparently named after a World War II Nazi soldier.
That's what people are reading and reaching too far for that.
That's what I said, apparently. But,
my whole thing is, look, WWE wants to trademark a name for this guy so they can make toys, merchandise, and other stuff. This guy, he's one of those guys who takes pride in his work. When things go bad, at least WWE has something trademarked for this guy. And he can go ahead and use his name and resume his career as Walter, just in case things go south, which, hey, they might. They just might. Who knows? So, the way I see it, Walter, the name Walter, is as plain as it can get. I'm sorry, it is what it is. Chris Jericho did not lie whatsoever when he tweeted that out a couple years ago. Walter is one of the most plain, generic names of all time. Walter itself as a name does not strike fear in the hearts of any man, woman, or child. Now, him himself as a human being, a very imposing human being. But I'm just saying the name Gunther, as goofy as it sounds like something. That doesn't sound plain or generic. It sounds goofy, but it doesn't sound generic. And like I said, hey, if they stylize that and capitalize all the letters like they do with Walter, I ain't got no problem with it. It's not about the name for me. It's about the performance. I don't care. I just don't care. People lose sleep about a wrestler getting his name changed. So what? Don't care. Now, yeah, a lot of people out there have goofy names. Come on. Let's be real. People love Red Velvet, right? This woman named herself after a cake flavor.
Okay, let me
Orange Cassidy.
The difference between Walter and like other people getting their name changed is Walter was already established, and he was actually on. He'd actually been on TV. He was on a pay per view. He was in Survivor Series. That Survivor Series, NXT versus the main roster. He was quickly
eliminated from Drew.
Well,
and plus, this is Vince McMahon. He does not give a shit about how much you were established before he gets his hands on you.
Well, no, let me kind of make my point a little bit. So he was already established and he was on TV. He had been on TV numerous times on NXT, on the USA Network, and, you know, of course, UK. So it's just weird that, you know, the minute he's already NXT full-time, they decide to change his name. That's just weird. That's dumb. I'm sorry, it's dumb. I don't agree with it. They should have just kept his name as is, or maybe added like a spin on his name or whatever. But it's just like, you could have just kept his fucking name. It was fine the way it is.
Yeah, well, you know, WWE can't leave well enough alone, and I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming as soon as he said he signed the contract. Like, I knew it was coming because it's Vince McMahon. He wants to own everything. They don't, and I'm pretty sure Walter doesn't want to give up the rights to his name. So they probably had a joint agreement, and it probably wasn't an agreement for him to change his name and come to the States. So therefore, I'm not upset. I can care less. Like I said, as long as he's giving me good performances in the ring, and if he's not out there wearing a monocle and doing a cabbage patch, I can care less. Destroy him, Gunther. I'll call you Gunner next week. Like, come on, man. People are just shit. They're over here losing sleep about WWE changing this man's name. Like, come on, bro. Like, this, like, and by the way, you said that he was established and that he appeared on TV. The man did not have a full blown contract. So he could get away. He got away with that. But now that he's under the full blown WWE contract, things are different now. That's the reason why they changed his name now. He's all in now. He just had to tip in a couple of years ago. He just had to tip in. Now he's all the way in there now. So that's why they changed the name. So people got to think about that as well.
It's I don't know. Again, still stupid. I'm not losing sleep over or anything. I reacted the way I reacted when it happened. Now I'm just like, whatever. But it feels stupid. Like, I don't agree with it. You know, Hurricane Helms trying to put in his two cents and compare himself. Or... He said, you know, hey, when I appeared in WWE, they took everything away from me in one night, and you know, I'm going to be fine. I was fine, but yada, yada, yada. I'm like, and I like Hurricane Helms. I didn't want to, like, trash him. I just said, with all due respect, Shane, like, you weren't as established as, like, you know, blah, blah. And, you know, that's about it. So, I mean, Hurricane Helms had a nice little career, but, you know, him and Walter are two different very careers. So, I don't know. I'm just on the mindset of, like, if you already have somebody appearing for you on television, like, you know, like almost monthly or every other month, and then they appeared on your fucking, like, pay-per-view, why change the name? It doesn't make any sense.
Shit, they changed Keith Lee's name. Bearcat Lee. He was on television way more than Walter was. See, yeah, and it doesn't hurt. You know, another reason why it doesn't hurt is because Walter appeared sporadically. He was only there when he needed to be, and he was out like Bon Voyage. Let's be real. Nobody watched NXT. Nobody watches NXT UK. Except for us marks. The kids, 8-year-old Timmy down the road ain't watching NXT UK. This is not happening. He's more inclined to watch a little bit of NXT here and there. I guarantee you, he'll still ask you, who's that big guy with titties, yo? Like, I mean, so it's like us, we know. But the geared audience, they don't care enough to know who he was beforehand, this, that, and the other two. I just think that people just... I'm not defending it either, because I like it's weird, right? It's weird. It is weird. Very, very weird. But I don't know. We got to see a damn good explanation. Now, I do agree with Alexa Bliss, because she said something about people need to shut the fuck up and just wait and see what happens.
Well, that was before the name change, and I
agree with that too. Like people just need to kind of just see what goes with this. Maybe Volta's got a deep, deep explanation as to why he's changing the name. Maybe he felt he needed to change. We don't know. Maybe you feel like, hey, I'm in the States now. Time to change it up. Who knows? I don't know. That's why I'm not bitching. Now, if a report came out and Vince forced it on him, then obviously you'd be like, yeah, whatever. Vince had. You just had to do what you had to do. But if Volta was like, hey, I know what I'm getting into. Let's change it, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I got no problem with it. We have to see. We have to wait and see. People want to jump the gun and get an instant reaction for clicks, likes, views, whatever, without even trying to let it simmer down and see what happens because of it. So don't react to things like that. Now, like I said, the man's wearing a monocle and doing a cabbage patch, then we got a problem. All right? We got a problem, Drew. Then I come over here and I'll raise my voice and curse and do this, that, and the other. Because that's ridiculous. Mark my words, Drew. If he's in a military outfit next week on NXT 2.0, wearing a fucking monocle and doing a cabbage patch, I'm going to lose my shit. All right? A goddamn monocle, man. I just had a nightmare when I just saw it in my head. Like, I just, oh, God. Anywho, yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, it's not that deep because we don't know what has gone into this thing. So I'm not going to trip off of it. Like I said, they got him a new full-blown contract now. So they can pretty much do what they need to do to make Walter the man a property of theirs that they can make money off of and put him in. Because he's not in any of the video games. They don't have toys for the guy. They had a little pissant little shirt for him on WWE Shop. But I looked up. I tried to look up stuff for Volta. They got nothing. No toys, no nothing. So now that they have a name for him, I mean, now we can get the ball rolling on toys and him being in video games and stuff like that. So,
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
One last little bit of news that's non-wrestling related. So, Joss Whedon, of Avengers fame, and then did the infamous Justice League, you know, reshoot, and then that became the Snyder Cut. He came out and addressed the claims that were made by Ray Fisher and Gal Gadot, more so Ray Fisher. And this was, I think this was on, like, Vanity Fair, I believe. And this came out on Martin Luther King Day, which mm-hmm. was an odd time. And he addressed the claims. He said, you know, he basically just said Ray Fisher wasn't a very good actor and that his character didn't really make any sense and it tested poorly with screen audiences. So that's why it got cut. Which is just whoever is Joss Whedon's like PR person should be fired. Mm-hmm. For allowing him to do that, because he should have just shut the fuck up and not say anything, or he should have just said, you know what, I fucked up, plain and simple. Even if he was lying, he should have just said I fucked up. referred to the cast of Justice League as the rudest cast he's ever met. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Gal Gadot, because, you know, he apparently threatened Gal Gadot's career, and Gal Gadot had said, she didn't really go too much into detail about it. She just said, I addressed it with HR, and they took care of it. With someone like Ray Fisher, he doesn't really have a lot to lose, because that was his first ever movie role.
And you know what? Whose fault is that?
What do you mean?
That's the casting director's fault for hiring a guy who didn't have experience, maybe, in that department. I mean, certain guys are naturals, and they can step up to the plate and knock it out of the park. But if you think this guy's such a shitty actor, like, come on, man! Like, you got to do your research on some of these people. But watching the Snyder cut though, and sorry to cut you off, but watching the Snyder cut though, I thought Ray Fisher did all right.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, Josh Whedon obviously got something against Ray Fisher, and I mean that's the way I see it, because Ray, like I said, Fisher did a great job in the Snyder cut. I mean that whole cut, you know, made that whole character look a way lot better than it, you know, than he did in the original cut there.
Right, and then going back to what I was saying, like, he doesn't have a lot to lose. You know, the way, I'm just kind of thinking of, you know, Ray Fisher's thinking of, he doesn't have a lot to lose, because, you know, before that, he was a theater actor. And, you know, he said when he got this role, it was, you know, a dream come true. And working with, you know, Zack Snyder was great. And then Zack Snyder had to dip out because he had a family tragedy. His daughter killed herself. So. And they were finished with like 99% of the movie. And then they brought in Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon just decided to cut everything out and put in his Joss Whedonism to cut out, you know, Cyborg scenes for whatever reason. I'm not sure, too sure if you're too familiar with, you know, everything that's going on with Joss Whedon. You know, there have been reports from like past shows, like, you know, he was the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Michelle Trachtenberg, David Boreanaz have all come out, you know, against Joss Whedon. You know, Michelle Trachtenberg was a teenager when she did the show, and she said, you know, Joss Whedon was not supposed to be alone with her.
Yeah,
and he broke that rule a lot of times, like he was alone with her. You know, other actors like, you know, the actor who played Spike, he was kind of defending Joss Whedon, but his whole thing was, I'm gonna support the victims. I'm just telling my truths. You know, so yeah, Joss Whedon, he's not gonna be making films anytime soon. You know, when all this controversy came out, he had a film that got canceled. I forgot what it was. And he tried to make it seem like he was this big feminist, but he was not really a big feminist. And you're not really hearing too much from the Avengers cast about him, which I'm not sure if there's a reason why for that. Like, what do you think?
Maybe don't have a story to tell right now. And see, and that's the part that I kind of hate. People go on a long time letting guys that are so monstrous and so disastrous, right, go on with their careers, and then years later, still kind of enable the behavior and let it go without saying anything until it's too late. Until somebody has the balls to say whatever they want to say, and like a Ray Fisher, it start, you know, and then other people want to come out and say nasty shit about the guy, you know, and give, you know, their horror stories about the guy. You know what I'm saying? I can't stand that. I don't like that whatsoever. I hate that mentality. If you did the crime right then and there, you can do the time right then and there. Let's just say if my boss rubbed my shoulder and I asked her to stop over and over again, I'm like, no, like, don't touch me. If you touch me again, I'm calling home office on you. I'm reporting you. Like, because I ain't come here to touch you. this and the other, get touched by you, come here to work. You know what I'm saying? So I get trying to make it in Hollywood, this, that, the other, but if somebody is just touching you, and just like the whole thing with Terry Crews, you know, him, apparently he got his balls grabbed or something like that at some type of red carpet event or some shit like that in front of his wife or something like that. I was like, oh, hell no, that couldn't have been me. I would have beat the shit out of old dude. Grab my nuts in front of my wife. Man, I would have beat his ass. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. That's the part I hate. Is that by them keeping quiet, trying to protect their own careers and stuff like that, in fear of getting blackballed, which is, you know, that's a real legit fear. But the flip side of that is that you are enabling a supposed monster to keep on doing his nasty behavior. You get what I'm saying?
What? Here's kind of what I think about it. Like, the Avengers cast compared to the Justice League cast, I think, is a lot different, because on the Justice League cast, you have essentially newer actors. You have Ray Fisher, who's, again, this is his first movie. You know, Ezra Miller, this is kind of his first big movie. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck he said that was like probably the worst time in his life because he was dealing with the alcoholism and divorce. Right. And then you look at the Avengers cast, you have Robert Downey Jr., who's a fucking alpha man. You have Chris Evans, who's an alpha man. Chris Hemsworth, you have Samuel Jackson, you have Scarlett Johansson. You have all these people that strike me as very dominating personalities.
Right. Mark Ruffalo, too.
I mean, I could picture Robert Downey Jr. just kind of like scoffing and be like, who the fuck is this dork? Like, yeah, really?
Me too.
You're going to try and talk down to me? Like, I own Marvel. Same thing with like Scarlett or
Sam Jackson.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure. I'm just like assuming things. Like, I don't think it's a thing of like they're hiding things. I think it's a thing of like, oh, something happened, but we dealt with it and it didn't happen again.
Or it didn't happen, you know, at all, out of fear of those guys too.
Yeah, because I think Joss Whedon is one of those bullies. Like, there's different bullies, and there's smart bullies and there's dumb bullies. I think he's a smart bully in the sense of, I know who to pick on and I know who not to pick on.
Yeah.
There's definitely bullies like that. And, you know, the story about him is that he's a rich kid. He grew up a rich kid. So he has a very self-entitled view of himself. And he knows who to fuck with. He knows who not to fuck with. And now it's coming out that he's fucked with a lot of people. And the time we're in, that's a no-no. Like, we're not going to deal with that. We're going to deal with toxic behavior. But, I mean, it's unfortunate to hear about that. Because, I mean, if you're an actor working on a set, if you're a writer, you shouldn't have to deal with somebody who has that kind of personality. You shouldn't have to deal with somebody who's a bully.
Yeah, no, definitely. You should be able to go to work and handle your business, you know?
As an adult, you shouldn't have to worry about being bullied in general.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much every topic I wanted to discuss, man. Was there anything you wanted to bring up?
No, not really. Not all that much, man. That's pretty much it. Everything that Oh, by the way, I want to give my review on the Eternals, by the way, if I can.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
That was a couple of hours I can never get back.
Okay.
I wasn't feeling that. I was not feeling that. Now, I skipped all the way to the end credits after it was done. And I got to hear the Mahershala Ali Blade cameo, voice cameo. And that was pretty dope. And I like the character of the Black Knight. I like that. I like the Black Knight character. So I'm excited to see what they do with the Black Knight. But the rest of the Eternals, no. God damn it, no.
Like, I was discussing this with Ruben last night, where when I saw it, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Yeah. Like, it's a movie I probably won't watch again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not watching it again.
I mean, if there ever comes a time where we do our, you know, like our MCU marathon, it's going to be a thing where we have to watch it, and it's just going to be like, no, okay. But You know, I think universally, this is the opinion on the movie. It should have just been a series, because you have all these characters that are supposed to be the strongest, you know, beings in the universe. And, you know, they couldn't help us because they were told not to, because, you know, mankind needs to evolve and learn from its mistakes. And it's just like, well, you could have been useful, you know, especially with the half of the universe being snapped away. But, you know, I digress. It was very chunky, very clunky. Like there are things in it that didn't really make any sense. Like that character that was, I forget her name, where she had super speed, but she was also deaf. You know, she had ASL.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was learning ASL. It's just like, okay, was that like the first ever being in the entire universe that learned, you know, sign language? Or same thing with Selma Hayek's character. You know, was she, you know, she's supposed to be this character named Ajax, but was she the first ever Hispanic, you know, being in the entire universe? Like, you know, I mean, just little things like that. But I would say if you're a Marvel fan, go watch it. That's all I'm going to say. You know, and then the post-credit scenes with, what's his name? Star Fox, Harry Styles, was like, okay, cool. The scene with the Black Knight, I want to see more of the Black Knight. It seems like a very interesting character. And then I kind of hated that our first, not even really a glimpse, but you had to listen of Blade was that. I mean, it's just like Blade is such a popular character. I mean, because people are forgetting that's the first ever successful Marvel movie, Blade.
Yeah.
I made a good chunk of change. So it's just like, if you're going to have this character debut in the MCU, I don't think it should have been like for an off camera voice.
You know what? I'm good with it though, because it's not his movie.
Right.
I mean, I like it. It builds somewhat anticipation for his arrival. So I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that little seed there. And right. You know, I mean, I guess we gotta watch that little seed grow, but I don't mind it because Mahershala Ali's gonna kill it as Blade anyway. So I mean, the guy is fantastic. Phenomenal actor. Kevin Feige did a great job. I mean, if you couldn't get Wesley Snipes' old ass to do this, I mean, the best option you could get is to be to get Mahershala Ali. And that's not to say that Wesley Snipes can't come back for the Multiverse of Madness either. I mean,
He probably will, because they apparently released, I guess, a cast list.
Yeah.
Like whenever you're watching a movie, they show like the credits and they'll have like the cast or whatever. And they showed a cast list, and it was a mile long. Basically everybody from Sony, from Fox, you know, from Blade. And I mean, they had like the leaks of Andrew Garfield and Toby, and we thought those were fake, and those ended up being real.
Yeah, no, I got a feeling one of them is going to be in a movie too. One of them, or now, if not both.
I mean, the big rumor is that, you know, we're getting Professor X back, and it's going to be McAvoy.
I heard both. I heard it was going to be Patrick Stewart. I heard Patrick Stewart did scenes for them too.
Yeah, both. Because I think
somebody was like the Illuminati is going to help him.
Oh yeah,
going to help Doctor Strange, which is Reed Richards, Professor Xavier, and I forgot the other member. Other two members,
Black
Bolt. Yeah, Black Bolt and fuck, who's the other member? There's one more. Shit, John the Blank.
I think it's Namor.
Yeah, Namor. Yeah. Illuminati. So I don't know what's Richard. I don't know if they're gonna use the new guy that they casted for it, or Grufer.
I think on the list it was both, because I think they're going to bring back the guy from the first movie, the 2005 movie, and then they're going to bring back Miles Teller, but as a different version of Reed Richards, like in the comic books where he becomes, you know, evil and he has that like big helmet on his head.
Yeah, good. That piece of shit movie, he deserves a piece of shit role. At least Alan Grufford and Jessica Alba, that whole Fantastic Four, to me, I see a lot of people shit on those movies. I don't. Were they the best? Were they the best? No, they weren't the best, but I didn't think they were bad either. I thought both movies' third acts kind of slacked. Like the movies up until the third act, that's when they got bad, because the final battle scene with Dr. Doom and the first one would seem very rushed, and then the same thing when they was doing the whole thing with fighting him again when he got the Silver Surfer board and stuff like that, and like all that seemed very, very rushed. And him getting knocked into the sea and this, that, and the other, and you're like, oh shit, well, he's gonna be back again. So, yeah.
The movie's gonna be nuts. It's gonna be off the wall of nuts.
Yeah, man.
May. Speaking of nuts, did you watch the trailer for Moon Knight?
Yeah, I did.
What you think?
I think it's gonna be good. A lot of people don't get it, but that's why you gotta read the fucking comic book, people. See, I think a lot of people expose themselves for not being true comic book fans, Drew, because they didn't get the Moon Knight trailer, you know? So, but it's going to be good. I think my man's got a chance to redeem himself from his horrible take on Apocalypse. So, yeah, like, he's going to be nice. And apparently the villain of the series tragically passed yesterday.
Yeah, what was the actor's name?
I forgot the guy's name. I know Nadia put it on Twitter yesterday, and I was like, what? Damn.
Let me look it up real quick. Gaspard Ulliel.
Yeah. That guy was in a lot of other different stuff, too.
He was in the Hannibal, I guess, prequel from back in the day of Hannibal Lecter. He mainly does basically French films or whatever. But yeah, he was. I don't know if he was going to be the villain. I know he was a character named Moon Knight Man, or not Moon Knight Man, Midnight Man. I'm sorry. Ethan Hawke is tapped to be the main villain. They said he's going to be a character, but it looks like they might swerve. And he'll end up being another character. But, I mean, yeah, such for that guy. I mean, 37 years old, dying in a skiing accident. Like, that's rough. But I love Moon Knight. I fucks with Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. I was happy to see this trailer. I think Oscar Isaac is perfect. He is perfect for this role. I like right off the bat that he's one of the many personalities, that he's Steven. He's this British guy named Steven. And then somebody calls him and says, hey, Mark. And he's like, why'd you call me Mark? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get to see the fucking suit. And I'm not sure how long we got to wait for the suit in this series. I don't know if it's going to be like until like the last episode or maybe episode 2. But it looks fucking great. And it doesn't even look like a Marvel thing. It doesn't look like it's in the same universe as Marvel. And I like that. It looks... like, we're finally exploring the darker, you know, territories of Marvel. And, you know, this is going to be hopefully leading to Blade. This is going to be leading to Daredevil. This is going to be leading to, you know, Werewolf by Night. Like, this is going to be fucking off the wall, batshit crazy. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love every minute of it. It's going to come out on March 30th. Buddy.
Yeah.
Can't wait. It's going to look dope. But yeah, that's the show, people. Go ahead and tell people where they can find you.
Well, RJ Unlimited on Twitter, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, we cut up and have fun. So, yes, yeah, subscribe to the Patreon. It's only $5. And oh yeah, by the way, I do have to fix some other stuff too. I have to catch up on some stuff. That credit card situation set me back a little bit, so I have to redo a couple of my subscriptions on Patreon. So, yeah. So if anybody out there is listening and wondering why RJ didn't tip in this month, that's why. So, sorry. But, yeah, that's pretty much it, Pete.
And, of course, you know, find me and subscribe to our Patreon. I do a show here with RJ. I do a show with Mr. Ruben Prime, which we did yesterday. I got to edit and upload it. I also do a show with Jeff Lippman. And it's only $5 a month, people. It's a damn good deal. And just like the Patreon that RJ's doing with Monty, $5 a month. Support us. Support everybody. Support podcast. You know, this $5 a month goes a long way. It helps us keep. Helps us keep the lights on. You know, helps us possibly even buy better equipment. You know, $5 goes a long way, people. But anyways, guys, appreciate you for listening, downloading, subscribing, and from RJ to me, have a great week. Stay safe and peace.
Peace.
The Drew Yari Show.
It's Drew Yari. It's Drew Yari.
The Drew Yari Show.
It's Drew Yari. It's Drew Yari.
The Drew Yari Show.
It's Drew Yari.
The Drew Yari Show.
It's Drew Yari.
The Drew Yari Show.
It's Drew Yari.